Cross country. Pick up your cross and walk. Bear your cross. Cross the Jordan. Whatever the Jordan represents for you. Cross. The more research she did on her family history, she began looking into Black history, particularly when it came to real estate. When she began to learn more about Black land laws, she realized how heavy her assignment would be. However, she couldn't ignore the elephant in the room: the great takeover of the Native American land. Bev felt she couldn't address one without the other, so she took a break from trying to raise awareness and find out why God brought it to her attention in the first place. All she could put together was a correlation of the forest fires that sparked every year in the Northern California region. What was the connection there? California. By this time, she searched to see if Eula McClain's book, God I Listened, went down in price. A miracle. Her daughter had just published her book, God I Listened, too, and ended up republishing her late mother's book, God I Listened. So Bev was finally able to get her book and purchase her daughter's as well. She couldn't wait to read her story and find out why God led her there while driving around Beverly Hills in the winter of 2020. California. Though ready to move up out of her roommate's place, she didn't want to leave Cali. She figured she'd be back in the fall to finish her real estate course after spending the summer researching in Virginia and eventually making her way to Charlotte. Only summer turned to October, and October into November 1st, exactly 1 year from the day she moved to LA. Charlotte. The setting of the pilot she finished writing a few months prior called Queen City. She reached out to an executive weeks after finishing it and got a meeting right off the bat. Thankfully, she was already enrolled in a television pitching class at the exact same time. The class was clutch because she initially thought it was just giving a sales pitch or presentation. There were different nuances, of course, but at the end of the day, the pitch illustrated a few spiritual encounters Beverly had that involved a knowing that ended up coming to pass. He loved the concept, but had questions as to why the young pastor, the brother of the main character with a very small role in the show, had to have infidelity issues. I believe it's a topic that needs to be addressed, you know, church hurt and infidelity within the church, just to help show people the importance of having a personal relationship with God for themselves. Bev wouldn't know anything about having a personal relationship with God if her first lady years prior didn't highlight the importance of knowing God for herself and getting to a place where she heard his voice. God speaks? Up to that point, she never heard of such. She figured she was good, going to church every Sunday, paying her tithes, and praying on occasion. She didn't know any better. Never cracked open the Bible to study or prayed and waited for God to respond. She did, however, make a show Bible for the full season and broke down the theme for each of the 10 episodes, along with themes for the next 4 seasons on deck. But luckily, she kept all those ideas to herself. Fast forward a couple months, the show Bev cross-referenced in her pitch that had been off air for decades was now all of a sudden going to be remade. She received the news while sitting at a library via her Google News feed. Same library she finished writing her pandemic book of poems and submitted to her first poetry competition. Who knew? When it came to publishing poetry, it was completely different from publishing a book. No publishers wanted any parts of it. No money in it. Nada. Well, just the competition cash prizes, which were few and far between. Up to that point, she wasn't making any money from her writing either, but it didn't matter. She didn't write to make money, but was obedient and knew it would eventually all make sense, pay off, and impact those it was meant for. Did that exec really just exclude her pilot altogether and go straight to the network with the proposed equivalent that quote-unquote already worked? Nah. But it crossed her mind. No, it sat down and camped there. She tried to give it the benefit of the doubt. Things like that take time. It had only been a few months. Well, she pitched it in the fall. They were about to shoot the pilot announced in February. Yeah, that's plenty of time. In her first ever writing class, Shonda Rhimes' masterclass to be exact, she mentioned not to cross-reference any of the work with your own because your work is supposed to be original. Beverly took that to heart, and as she wrote her pilot, was loosely focused on a character trait she had. Well, more of a gift, as she took her sophomore book, Eden's Daughters, and adapted it into an ensemble of millennial women in a world of professional sports teams and online church watch parties in up-and-coming Charlotte. A Christian sisterhood, entangled in scandal, is held together by a psychologist who realizes that her prayers can mean the difference between life and death. She didn't have any other shows in mind. In fact, she wrote her 60-page pilot within 24 hours. Just her and God. It all just came out. Literally. A great first draft. Well, for a newbie. However, when it was time to enter certain competitions, or when she was studying how to pitch, one of the questions typically asked was, what show was it comparable to? She had to think about it for a while. And sure enough, the main character's story was a bit similar to a show that was very successful in the 90s. Completely different, but it points in a similar direction. Went on to do 90 episodes. And now that they may reboot it, she was worried her show would be irrelevant if they had something on the air that reminded them of it. Well, you asked me to write this guide, so I know eventually it'll get picked up. And if those guys decided to toss my idea to the side and pitch the reboot, I know you'll take care of it. You fight my battles. I don't know. I don't know why I'm worried. You got this. Sure enough, as God would have it, they shot the pilot, but it was never picked up. Confirmation. Confirmation that her show was going to be the one made eventually. But more impactful and even more entertaining on primetime television. Even if she was wrong, and it was just some big coincidence, even down to the exact network she mentioned after the fact, she left it in God's hands and knew that God's timing was always perfect and the right people behind the project mattered just as much. So she didn't worry about it. New to Charlotte, or the Queen City, as it's referred to. Instead of getting familiar with the city for the sake of her TV show, she worked. She didn't even think about her script. She worked. She didn't think about scouting the city through the lens of the main character. She worked. And worked. Graveyard shift. Her paycheck paid for her Airbnb for the majority of the time, with the exception of several nights she spent in a parking garage in the South Park neighborhood of Charlotte. In her car. The one she just upgraded into a year prior. Heavily insulated. With the bonus of a pea coat that kept her completely warm. Thank God. Maybe God didn't know what he was doing after all. Okay, God, so I know you kind of warned me. Like, I thought there may be nights here and there, that I'd have to sleep in here, but I didn't actually think you were for real. Like, I don't even have the urge to pee right now, so I know this is you. God, what are you doing? This is crazy. But I trust you. This sucks. But I know this is just temporary. Crazy as hell. But I know you have a greater purpose, so I will try not to complain. I will try not to complain, God, but I trust you. A few months prior to her moving, she had been praying to God for income. God, can I get some income coming in by my birthday? I gotta pay this car note. My parents, they did all they could do. Soon after that prayer, not only did a random happy birthday balloon fly in and out of her backyard days leading up to her birthday, she interviewed for a one-day volunteer job just to have something pertaining to Hollywood on her resume. By the end of this interview, the owner of the small business was looking to hire Bev as a business consultant. She had an eye for detail and, well, coupled with Holy Spirit, was able to pinpoint areas of improvement and provide solutions with a blueprint along with out-of-the-box ideas for marketing and PR campaigns. Bev suggested a 3-month contract since she wasn't sure when she'd be moving to Charlotte. And sure enough, by the time the 3 months were up, Bev had been doing more than what she proposed and doing well enough for the owner to want to hire her as a full-time assistant. She asked God for a sign if she should remain on her team while moving to Charlotte, since the job was remote. At the same time, she was also waiting to hear back from the job she applied for in her soon-to-be new city. She received a job offer that day she asked for a sign without even an interview. But before she left the city, she felt led to meet with one of her old coworkers and ask for money to help her with the move, since the money she received consulting went straight to catch up on her car note.
You want me to do what now?
God told her to put together a budget of what she would need to move and present it to her. She was just a few days out from her scheduled day to leave and was dreading asking her for money. But right as she was about to put it off, she received a random text telling her not to put off for tomorrow what she could do today. As if you were promised tomorrow. Something to that effect. She knew that was God, so she reached out to schedule a meetup at Chipotle, even though she hated spending the $10 it was going to cost. Wish it was still 10 today. But just 11 months earlier, she was just telling her and two of the coworkers confidently that she felt led to move to LA and how she was going to pursue writing and ministry and whatever else God had for her. Now she was sitting there telling her how she was doing well spiritually and creatively, but crumbling financially. She was self-conscious, but told her the truth. She didn't know where in the conversation she would ask for the funds she needed, though. She hated the thought of it and at one point thought she may have to leave without asking. So she just sat there and waited as she listened to how much her ex-coworker made out with the unemployment insurance payments. She went on and on and on and on. By the end of the conversation, Bev finally got the nerve to ask if she would invest in my move. Maybe invest was the wrong word, but it's what felt comfortable in the moment. She showed her the list of what she would need, equaling up to about $3,000. And she just nodded and said she would let her know what she could do. Bev knew exactly what she was thinking. She knew her. When they hugged goodbye, Bev believed her, though. It was the only thing that gave Bev extra peace while getting on the road with a couple hundred bucks, knowing she would have a few more bucks coming in. No, she didn't wait until she had all the funds she needed. That wouldn't be walking by faith or trusting God to come through. She would not have left otherwise. Besides, God wanted her to reach out to her specifically. Was she really going to say no? By this time, in the year alone, she had already been on a few trips without much money, and it always ended up working out. She figured it must have been preparation for this particular move. Only this time, she would be leaving without even a place to live. Of course, her parents didn't know. The less they knew, the better, especially when she valued their judgment in a time where God's judgment mattered most. Like, how do you explain to the people you love the moves you are making when you don't even understand them yourself? The instruction is literally, just go. You don't need to understand to obey. The continuation of the devotional, she read about not picking and choosing when to be obedient. You'll find out next steps after you get there. A few days into her trip, Bev reached back out to the ex-coworker and was told she couldn't contribute. 20 bucks would have made a world of difference. A measly 20 bucks. Do you know how much $20 is to someone walking by faith? Hell, $2. When she flew out a month prior to scout the city, you know, on the first day of the 10th month, she didn't have enough money for a rental car. Barely an Airbnb. Again, didn't ask anyone for a dime. She was told that they had a train system and planned to take Lyft and the train, worst case, the bus. Well, on the last day, she was there. It just happened to be the day she had rescheduled the pitch with the executive. She had to get to the library or somewhere quiet. Unable to stay at the airport at that point, it was just too loud. With zero money, she had to take the bus, which meant she needed $2. Cash. Nothing Cash App could help with. She felt humiliated that she had to ask. A few guys walked by, but she just couldn't get the nerve to ask anyone until she walked outside to the bus stop and saw a friendly Delta flight attendant. A godsend. She asked for $2 and was given $4. Double for her shame. She tried her best not to cry until she got on the bus and prayed that God would bless the heck out of that woman for helping her get to her pitch meeting. Up to that point, Bev gave to anyone in need who held up a sign when she had cash on her, but now, having to be the one on the corner, totally changed the dynamics of her motives behind giving moving forward. All that just to get to the library for them to tell her that all the study rooms were closed due to COVID-19. You don't understand. I have a meeting with the Hollywood executive in 2 hours and I have no other place to do this. She made do in a small corner of the kids section of the library. It was not indicative of the way she normally did business, but she didn't let it affect her pitch, nor did she make any excuses about where she was. You wanted me out here in the 10th month on the first day, so you said so. It's been a couple days now, pitching a pilot in the actual city of this thing, so God, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust this will pay off. A month later, while making the official move, still on the road, she had questions. God, did I hear you correctly? I mean, where am I even gonna live? Why did you have me reach out to her if she couldn't help me? That was so embarrassing. Sure enough, on the last day, as Bev was an hour out from the city, The one friend who knew about her move called to say she was going to be in town and offer a place to stay for the night because she knew Bev was probably short of funds. Though her ex-coworker didn't help her monetarily, her conversation helped push her to get on the road. It was equivalent to the priest standing still in the Jordan River before the people. God needed to see an act of faith first before he would perform the miracle that would allow them all to cross. As Bev crossed country, she realized what may be perceived as rock bottom can oftentimes distract or derail her from an opportunity of a lifetime that was on the other side of obedience. She may get scraped up in the process, but at least she would accomplish what she set out to do, regardless of the outcome. God was testing her to see if he could trust her to complete his work, even if she was just scraping by with a bruised ego in the process of it all. Could she trust him enough to fall forward knowing he would catch her? He may not have been wearing the catcher's mitt that she preferred, but she knew she would always land safely in his hands. Bev found out that if nothing else, the character built in the process was worth every scrape. Underneath it all, she was actually healing. If he could begin to trust her over a few things, he would make her ruler over many. Though she felt like a wounded warrior for Christ at times, she began feeling that regardless, she was on the right side of grace.
Thanks for supporting Cross. Like, comment, and subscribe.